you are able to this morning, stand with me and let's read from Luke chapter number 19. I want to begin reading in verse number 41. The Bible said, "And when he," that's referring to Jesus, "was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." If correctly read, that's verse 41 down through verse 44. Pray with us, would you please? You can be seated. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. And we pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts in these next few moments together. And just help us, our Lord, to see something, our Father, that I believe is being overlooked in our generation. And I ask you, Lord, to help this preacher to be a help to these precious people that are gathered here today. Keep your hand, our Father, upon the ministry here at Bible Way. I pray, Lord, today that you would speak to hearts. Lord, peradventure there's some here that don't know you as their Savior. May this be the day, Father, that they would turn loose of sin and turn loose of their pride and, Lord, take hold by faith of the salvation that you offer through the cross, where the blood was shed that we could be forgiven. In thy name we pray, amen and amen. Jesus, in this text, is weeping over Jerusalem. I believe we're kind of living in a day when there's not much weeping goes on at all anymore. But I'm wondering this morning if the Savior isn't still weeping as he looks over the cities, as he looks over the population. I got it in my heart this morning, and how many of you have I guess what I'm talking about here would be have a burden for somebody that has a need that man can't meet. Only God can meet that need. How many of you have a burden for somebody like that this morning? Only God can do what needs to be done. I wonder, at times in my life I've been burdened. I wonder if the Savior is not standing in the shadows when we're burdened and our heart is burdened. And I wonder if he's not burdened over that situation, knowing that only he can do something that needs to be done. I believe we kind of sell the Lord short sometimes. And I want to give you just four things that the Lord spoke to my heart about as I looked at this passage of Scripture and one other passage. It's kind of a parallel passage in the book of Luke. But the first thing I want you to grasp, if you can, this morning is I don't believe anybody in the city was aware that he was weeping. He's up here looking over the city, and I don't believe there was one person down there aware that he was weeping. I wonder today how many people in Bloomingdale, how many people in Kingsport, how many people in Tennessee, I wonder how many people in the United States, how many people around the world are aware that there is a Savior and his name is Jesus, and that his heart breaks when he looks at what's going on in the world. We preach sometimes and take a hard stand, try to against sin, whether it's sin in my life or sin in your life. But what we need to always remember is that breaks the heart of the Savior. Amen. Can you imagine last night the Lord looking down on the city and somebody's looking for peace in the bottom of a bottle? You know, the Lord's broken over that. He knows. He might say something to them like this: come unto me, I'll give you rest. You're not going to find rest in the bottom of that bottle. Somebody rolling up their sleeves last night and injecting drugs into their veins, and they just tired of living and don't know how to cope with life. You say, preacher, you don't believe the Savior cares about people. I know He does. And I know, listen, I believe with all of my heart that one of the things that's wrong in our generation, that even Christians have given up on the fact that Christ is concerned with what's going on down here. Those burdens that were represented a while ago when you raised your hand, maybe it's a loved one, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's somebody that's not saved. And by the way, beloved, I believe that it's easier to show somebody their need of Christ if they know they have an addiction than somebody that's a good moral person that's never had an addiction, but they both need Christ or they'll both go to hell without God. And so Jesus is burdened, but the people, I don't even believe they're aware that He was weeping. And I believe today that Christ is carrying a burden for you, carrying a burden for me. You know, it's one thing. Listen to me carefully. I'm trying to just mind the Lord this morning. It's one thing to think about the sinner out there and the fact, Brother Ralph, that he's weeping over them and weeping over their condition, knowing what he can do for them if they will just come and trust him. But I want to ask you this. I wonder how many churches Jesus is weeping over. I wonder how many churches that used to have a Bible and used to preach the Bible don't even need a Bible to have church anymore. I wonder how that breaks his heart. I wonder what if it don't break his heart when they take the blood out of the songbook. And I wonder if it don't break his heart when the choir, instead of sounding like a church choir, sounds like a rock concert. You say, preacher, you don't believe that. Yes, I do. The Word of God said to seek out the old path, and when you find it, to walk therein. Beloved, I believe with all of my heart, Jesus is not only weeping over the city, but I believe He's weeping over the churches. I believe, listen, with all of my heart, Brother John taught in Sunday school this morning on prayer, where the disciples said, teach us to pray. I'm wondering, beloved, listen, if that's not so much teach us how to pray, just teach us to pray. Because if you'll think about it, beloved, if there's one thing, beloved, where we're lacking, say amen. It's getting in that closet and getting a hold of God. Amen. We need to pray in this generation. Jesus is weeping, and the people are not even aware that He was weeping. The second thing, Jesus is weeping. Think about this for a moment. And they're not aware of His way. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Turn with me to Luke just a moment. Luke chapter number 13. This is the parallel passage I wanted to speak about just for a moment. In Luke chapter number 13, I believe that the Lord wants to get that burden back, that fire back in our hearts as we think about if He was standing up on one of these hills looking down. You come into Kingsport, if you come across Bays Mountain, I've had the privilege years ago to go to Jerusalem, and if you come into Kingsport across Bays Mountain from Johnson City Way of a night, it looks so much, the lights on the hillside, it looks so much like a scene that you would see in Israel. And Jesus is weeping. They're not aware that He's weeping, but they're also not aware of His way. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look in verse 34 of chapter number 13. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, notice now, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. You say, preacher, what is his way that they were not aware of? Turn with me, if you will, over to the book of Corinthians just a moment. I don't have this passage marked, but I believe I can find it. Look what the Word of God said here. The Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1, the Bible said in verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You say, pastor, what's that got to do with the passage over here? Well, they didn't know about the way of God. The way of God included for Israel the prophets of God. They came to deliver the word of God. And the prophets were rejected. Their message was rejected. And beloved, the Bible said they killed the prophets. You say, what's that got to do with our generation? Look in verse 17. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross, watch this now, is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Can I just say this morning, listen, if you're here today and you love the preaching of the cross and you understand that that's what it takes to get somebody saved, we ought to shout glory, because the Bible said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. We're wasting our time, wasting our breath, preaching about the cross, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, beloved, listen, Jesus is standing up there weeping over that city. They don't know that he's weeping, and they don't know his way. His way is that God calls men to take the word of God and point people to Jesus. And they don't understand. They're not aware. The Bible said here, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh. You can say whatever you want to, beloved, but churches in America are full of flesh. I'm talking about, beloved, listen, I'm talking about where the flesh is pumped up and the flesh is getting the glory. You know what the cross will do? It'll cause the flesh to have to be crucified. No wonder people don't want to hear the preaching of the cross. They were not aware that he was weeping. They were not aware of his way. They say it's foolishness, the preaching of the cross. And then I want to give you this thirdly in the message this morning. Look at Luke chapter number 19 one more time. Over here in verse number 42, I want to give you the third thing in the message. They were not aware of his will. Look here with me, if you will. We read it together. He said, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. You see, they didn't know his will. You say, preacher, what do you mean? He came unto his own. You want to know why he came to him? Because he loved them. You want to know why he came to them? Because he wanted to save them.
You say, preacher, how do you know? Because he wants to save everybody. The Word of God said it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm telling you this morning on the authority of the Word of God, beloved, there's a Savior up there looking over the city. They don't know he's weeping. They don't know his way, and they don't know his will. They're not concerned about the will of God, not concerned about the salvation that he offers. The Word of God said, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. You say, Pastor, why didn't they know? But now they are hid from their eyes, from thine eyes. Beloved, listen to me this morning. You and I that are God's people, we need a little bit more patience about us. We need some more long-suffering about us. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, let me ask you something. How many in this building were saved, listen, after you were 20 years old? Would you raise your hand if you were saved? That's a whole bunch of people. How many were saved after you were 30? Not me. I was 27. How many were saved after you were 40? How many aren't 40 yet? No, I'm just kidding. That was just a few after 40. How many were saved after 50? Anybody? Yeah, oh, well, I got to go plumb to 80, Brother Jim, to get you. I'll be here all day, Brother Jim. Amen. Amen. He just keeps putting that hand higher. Look at me. Look at me. Praise God. He saved me. Amen. Now watch this. How long were you blind? How long were you blind? That ought to cause us to be long-suffering. That ought to cause us to be patient. That ought to cause us to not get in a hurry praying, Brother John, and just keep praying. Because thank God Almighty, somebody kept praying for me. Somebody kept believing God could change my life. Somebody kept believing that Jesus would eventually break through in my heart and my life and help me to see who I was and help me to see who he is. That's what has to happen for somebody to get saved. You got to see who you are. You can wrap that up in one word, a sinner. You say, preacher, that's two words. Okay, sinner. That's what we are. We're sinners. You say, preacher, who is he? He's the Savior. He's the only one that can help a sinner. He's the one that died, was buried, rose again the third day. And beloved, that's the only hope for someone to be saved by the grace of God. Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem. They're not aware that he's weeping. They're not aware of his way. They're stoning the prophets. They're killing them. Can I just say this? Our country is deeply divided right now. It's been that way for a while, but let me give you something. To about half the people in this country, we're split just about 50-50. You can think about it any way you want to. I'm not talking about Christians and non-Christians. I'm talking about 50-50, beloved, with people that have any respect at all for this book and people that have no respect at all for this book. So what's that mean? That means about half the country could care less if anybody has church this morning. That means about half the country could care less whether there's a Bible ever opened again or whether there's an old song ever sung again, whether there's ever a church service again. But let me give you something, beloved. I have a Savior that cares. I have a Savior that hasn't given up on us. I have a Savior that still, beloved, listen, wants to help people and still understands that by the foolishness of preaching, God saves them that believe. Amen. We just present Jesus. They're not aware of his will. I want to give you this morning. There's one more thing here. And I believe that what God wants us to do is go home today and be aware, Brother Preston, that when God puts that burden on your heart, maybe it's for one of the kids. And you just, maybe one night you go to sleep or you go to lay down to go to sleep, you can't sleep. God wants you to be aware when you get up and you say, Lord, help, and you put that, he wants you to be aware that his heart's broke too. He's carrying a burden too. Amen. He's weeping over Jerusalem. He's weeping, beloved, listen, because he cares. They were not aware that he was weeping. They were not aware of his way. They were not aware of his will. But I want to give you this morning. Listen to me carefully. They were also not aware of the warfare. What do you mean, preacher? Look here, verse 43. The Bible said, the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side. When Jesus is weeping over the city, he is prophesying concerning the destruction that would happen in 70 A.D. I used to think A.D. stood for after death, and it doesn't. I mean, it just kind of makes logical sense, I guess, if you don't have any more education than what I have. But it really means Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. So you have B.C. before Christ, and then A.D. means the year of our Lord after Christ's birth. That's where we are in 2020. But Jesus understood that 70 years later that Jerusalem was going to be encompassed round about, that the enemy was going to be all the way around them, and that the enemy was going to lay them even with the ground. I think it would be a good time just to think for just a moment of those scenes that we're seeing in the news concerning Middle Tennessee. I mean, the destruction is horrible. It just leveled places. And Brother Brian, I believe you and I were texting right after that happened, maybe the next morning. I made a mention that I was glad it didn't happen during the daytime. And it wasn't just a little while. Someone came on with a Christian school out there, and there was 800 students in that school. And they said if it would have happened during the daytime, there would have been many, many more lives lost. But what I'm trying to say is Jesus is talking about a warfare here. He's up there on the mountain looking down there, weeping over them, and they don't even know the warfare's already going on, let alone what's coming. Can I tell you this? This world has no idea what's coming. But it's still coming. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. You say, preacher, what do you mean warfare? I believe with all of my heart, beloved, that those that are here without Jesus, there's a battle going on. I remember the battle that went on in my heart. I remember how the devil, he lies to us. He tells us, you know, you got plenty of time. He tells us, not now, maybe later. He'll tell you anything. He'll tell you the people will make fun of you. He'll tell you anything to keep you from coming to Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. He's a liar. And there's a warfare going on. Everybody that raised their hand a while ago, they were burdened for someone. I was talking to a man yesterday morning. I'm not going to name any names or anything, but I said, brother, do you have confidence that these folks are saved? He said, no, pastor, I don't. And that's sad that you got somebody standing there to tell you they're saved, and somebody else that's known them for 40 years says, no, I don't have any confidence. How many believes if we say something, there ought to be something in our life to back it up? Amen. Ought to be something to back it up. There's a warfare going on. I've talked to people just in recent weeks, and yeah, I'm saved, and I know I need to. I know I need to. I know I need to. You say, preacher, what's going on? A warfare. And Jesus is weeping. Watch this now. The Bible said, for the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side. I want you to look at this. It gets worse. And lay thee even with the ground, and What's those next words say? It looks to me like if ever, ever, ever we were going to have a burden, that we ought to have a burden for our children and our grandchildren. There's things going on in this country. There's people that if they have their way, you won't even recognize America in 25 years. I don't even think it'll take that long, honestly. There's a warfare going on. There's a warfare going on. But they were not aware of the warfare. You and I, beloved, that are saved by the grace of God, we ought to be well aware that there's a struggle going on. There's a struggle going on. A while ago when we raised our hand, that individual or that family that we were thinking about when we raised our hand has got something going on, beloved, and they need God's help. They need somebody, beloved, praying for them. And they need to come to the place where instead of these things being hid from them, they can see what Christ has done for them. I believe with all of my heart that night when the Lord allowed the blinders and the scales, if you will, to come off of my eyes and allowed me to see who I was and see who He was. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. It broke my heart. It broke my heart to think that I could be sitting on that pew in the mess that I was in. Oh, you say, preacher, you've been a church member for 6.5 years. If anybody else has been down this road, you'll say amen. You were still sitting in a mess. Because without Jesus, it's a mess. And the sin's never been dealt with. And we've never been reconciled. Amen. But thank God, not only did He show me what I was and show me who He was, but He convinced me of something. He convinced me that He loved me. He convinced me that He could help me. Beloved, listen to me. Brother John, you was talking about prayer this morning. It's a good lesson. But I tell you where I struggle. And that sometimes people are in such a shape. I struggle believing. Does anybody else struggle to believe? You pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. You say, preacher, what do you mean you struggle to believe? Well, the Bible talked about James, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. How many knows what it means to waver? God wants us to pray. And I think one of the things that will help us is to realize what He's done for us. If He's done it for us, He can do it for anybody. Amen. And to realize that God doesn't work on our timetable. Amen. We may have to pray for years. We may have to be faithful for years before that we see that prayer answered. Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem. I'm wondering, is there anybody burdened for Bloomingdale? Is there anybody burdened? I stood up back there next to Zane Thomas a little while ago. And I was kidding him, Brother Brian. I said, they say not to shake hands, so I just grabbed him and hugged him. Amen. He's growing up. I don't like it, but he is. He said, why don't you like it? Because I'm getting older. These guys were running around my knees not too long ago. Amen. Now they're running over my head. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, what they have to face, only God knows. How we ought to be. We got children over here and children over here. How we ought to be burdened. And thanking God that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. That He'll take care of the children. But how we need to be praying for them. Amen. Jesus is up on the mountain praying. They're not aware that He's weeping. They're not aware of His way. They're not aware of His will. And they're not aware of the warfare, the struggle, what's going on. I believe there's many people like that in America, don't you? But it's sad. I believe there's many people like that in churches in America that are not aware really what the struggle is all about. It's a spiritual battle. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. How many is glad greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. God wants us to believe him. Whether it's a physical impossibility, believe him. If it's spiritual, emotional, believe him. Maybe it's financial, believe him. Just trust God. Believe God. You know, I think about this sometimes. I've trusted him with the most precious thing that I have. That's my soul. Amen. Why not trust him with everything else? Why not commit it to him and trust him? Amen. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that we have a Savior that cares for us. We have a Savior this morning, Lord, that knows what we need even before we ask. I pray this morning, Father, that you would help us to realize, our Father, that you're the same yesterday and today and forever. Therefore, Lord, as you stood burdened over the city of Jerusalem, knowing that they had rejected the prophets, killed the prophets, Lord, you said, how oft would I have gathered them together? Lord, you're in the gathering business, and the old devil's in the scattering business. I pray, dear Father, that you'd speak to the heart of that one that's with us today that doesn't know Jesus as Savior. And Lord, I pray today you'd speak to our hearts as Christians. Help us to realize, Lord, we don't have to carry this burden alone. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus.